Hey guys, before the start of this episode, I am just letting you know that I am doing another giveaway for a Nintendo Switch Lite with the copies of Pokemon Sword and Pokemon Shield. So the Pokemon Edition Nintendo Switch Lite, the physical copies of both of the games, doing a giveaway for it, completely free to enter. This is an audio podcast, so you have to go out of your way to like look at the description of the podcast, and then the link will be there. You click the link. That's how you enter. Totally free. Nothing fancy. But that will run until December 21st, 2019. So if you're listening to this podcast in 2022, the giveaway ended 3 years ago, and you probably didn't win. If you're listening to this at the end of 2019, you still have an opportunity. So just wanted to let you guys know that. Enjoy the episode. What's up, everyone? Welcome to the 386th episode of the Pokemon Podcast. One take. I am your host, SBJ. With me is Greg.
Hello. Welcome to the 589th episode of trying to get this intro right. I am your host, not SBJ. What's up?
Bobby also here.
Hey, how do you forget what episode it is? You do this every week.
Every week.
Every week. You just keep doing it over and over again, and it all blends together.
It may only be 300, but it feels like 900.
When you have to explain day after day that Ultra Shinies are not real.
Oh, I was going to ask you about Ultra Shinies, though.
Oh, no.
Something moves out of your brain. Okay,
I got a Shiny.
Did you?
And it's Ultra. I posted it. I sent you a picture of my cute gnome.
Oh, yeah.
Rude.
I do remember. I can't even remember what episode it is, more or less. What Shiny you got, like, 2 days ago. All right, we have some Pokemon news, of course, this week. Pokemon.com published an article about the max raid battles, so we're going to go through that. And
the title of which, look, there's clickbaity and then there's clickbaity.
Hey, do they? They're not getting anything from people visiting their site. Like, there's zero ads on their site.
They are a giant ad. That is their site. Their site is a giant advertisement.
Yeah,
that
you
is
can,
what they're getting.
You can buy things on their site, like all their merchandise and everything. So it benefits them to have people come to their website.
All right. Speaking of a website that no one visits, we're going to jump right into some news and we're going to talk about Pokemon Go.
Oh, man.
No one goes to PokemonGoLive.com.
Is there anything even there anymore?
No. I mean, they post updates, and then I mean,
it's a terrible website.
Yeah, it's not great.
It's not great.
PokemonGoLive.com, also not the best name for your biggest money-making Pokemon game of ever.
Yeah, that's true.
Well,
is PokemonGo.com taken by not them? Oh, yeah, they do. It's part of Pokemon.com.
Pokemon Go Live is where Niantic publishes their press releases. All right, so this one is going to be ending later this week. It's already started. There was already a Saturday event for it that I didn't actually participate in, but I'm curious if you guys did. But before we get there, celebrate the power of change with the Evolution event. Trainers, perhaps. One of the greatest lessons that we've learned from Pokemon is
perhaps
that it's possible to evolve into surprising and cool beings. Some just need a little boost or help. Let's celebrate how much Pokemon and you have grown this year with the first ever Evolution event. An accompanying raid and an accompanying raid day. Pokemon Evolution can depend on a Pokemon if it has a certain gender or if it's spent time as a buddy Pokemon. Sometimes an evolution occurs because of a particular item, time of day, or lure module. During this event, you'll be able to explore all these unique ways to evolve your Pokemon.
All of them at once?
All of them.
Wow, what an event.
Thursday, December 5th to Thursday, December 12th. Pokemon that evolve in such unique ways as Onix, Eevee, Roselia, and Burmy will be appearing more often in the wild. Take on raids against unique evolutions like Lickitung, Scyther, Togetic, and Ralts. Find more 2K eggs that have Pokemon such as Tyrogue, Feebas, Burmy, and Happiny. Event special task and events specific field research tasks that have reward evolution items that can help you evolve. And if you're lucky, trainers, you may encounter a shiny Burmy.
Which looks no different than regular Burmy, except for a slight different gray.
All lure modules will last for 1 hour, 2x XP when evolving Pokemon, evolution items from raids, and then there will be the evolution event raid day that happened yesterday from 11 to 2, which would feature, at the time it featured Bulbasaur, Charmander, and Squirtle in 1-star raids, Ivysaur, Charmeleon, Wartortle in 2-stars, Venusaur, Charizard, and Blastoise in 4-stars. You will receive 5 free raid day passes if you were playing during that time. You cannot hold more than one. And if I'm not mistaken, the YouTubers who do actually give news, because no one cares about reading a press release, said that these Pokemon could all be shiny, like the Charizards and the Charmeleons and stuff.
Correct. Yeah, that is what happened.
This is like the first actual like 3-hour thing I think I've skipped. When, look, they took away a lot of my sprint stops. I was very dependent on my sprint stops. It is still incredibly frustrating that they just didn't turn those into anything, like just blank stops as they figured out. They opened up community things. I'm actually really mad about this. They opened up community submissions, and they could have turned those stops into literally anything, and instead they just removed them. In no way does that benefit your consumers. That doesn't benefit anyone walking around playing Go. You just removed thousands of stops that were sprint and or boost mobile. It's really frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, they don't seem to make the best moves when it comes to, you know, when they did the spawn redistribution the other day or the other month or whatever.
It feels like it's every day.
It's every day. But they did the same thing with the spawn redistribution. They didn't just add, they really move around the ones that are around. They like took stuff away. And I'm not sure why they believe that that benefits anyone playing the game.
I mean, somebody added a new stop on my way to work, which was nice because I finally got one tick towards my visit 8 stops you have never visited before, because I think I visited everywhere worth visiting in Minnesota. So if anybody in the Minneapolis area could just start adding stops for me so that they're brand new, I would greatly appreciate it because I'm never going to get that thing done.
Yeah, I guess we didn't talk about that, but the level 40 Wayfair submissions rolled out. So you can submit stops. Bobby's 40, I'm 40. Greg, not 40.
No, not even close.
I submitted one stop.
It was rejected?
No, I don't know. I submitted it last night. So I did. So I've seen other Pokemon Go stops as Lego stores. So I submitted my Lego store in the mall.
Oh, nice. Does it have an actual like big Lego installation that you can actually mark?
The whole wall is like a... Not every Lego store has this, but the Lego store by me has like a huge wall that has like the Lego dudes. It's like almost like a mural. So I submitted that. I think it qualifies. I guess we'll find out. But
I mean, the big dragon head is what qualifies at the Lego store here.
Yeah, but no, the Lego store at Mall America has like 4 stops. It has
there are 4 huge installations. It's got the dragon. It's got the gladiators that are fighting. It's got the helicopter one. And one more. I forget what the last one is.
That was like pre-Wayfarer, though. So
yeah, that was
got accepted because Ingress.
That was all Ingress. You can still go into Ingress and add things.
Can you? Does that work differently than...
Yep.
Or no. Does it get added to the Wayfarer stuff, too, for people to review?
As far as I know, it gets added to everything that uses that system. Because the things have been removed and added before this rolled out to Pokemon Go that I know didn't exist. And the only way to do that was through Ingress.
Okay, so this is off niantic.helpshift.com.
Oh, great.
Wow. So much better than Pokemon Go Live.
I think Helpshift is just like their Zendesk that they use.
Right, right.
So this is what makes a high-quality Pokestop. So,
this is what does.
High-quality Pokestop nominations are those that help trainers discover and enjoy their community. To be considered an eligible Pokestop, you must meet at least one of the criteria below. At least one. So a location with a cool story, a place in history, or educational value. So it has to have an interesting story behind the object or location. Case in point, Will's stick in DC. Signs with educational information. A cool piece of art or unique architecture, so that would qualify for sculptures, statues, murals, paintings, mosaics, light installations, etc. What's going to be eligible for that is venues that showcase fine art, buildings designed by renowned architects, or structures famously placed for their architecture. Submit a hidden gem or hyper local spot. So this qualifies for a popular local spot that you would take a friend visiting your community for the first time. There's pictures to go along with this. The picture they're showing here, it looks like a very like hole in the wall guitar shop.
Yep.
A popular spot that locals gather may be lesser known outside the community. This literally looks like just a non-Starbucks coffee shop. I can find 8 restaurants in Milwaukee that have these same exact chairs.
I tried to do this. I tried to use the, we have like a courtyard between the two companies that own the building I'm in. And I tried to use that logic with my Pokemon, Pokestop submission. And it got like rejected in like a day.
Oh, so, do you get an email when it gets rejected?
No, you just go to the Wayfarer website and log in, and then you can see what you've submitted and where it is in the queue.
But there's a set of escalators in the lobby of one of the buildings, and at the top of this escalator has a tiny, and I mean tiny, fountain, and somebody got that successfully through. I'm like, how? I mean, I will give this. They took a picture of it that makes it look huge, and I'll give them that. But the actual thing I want, I'm like, really, that little thing? That's, all right. I mean, I'll take it. It's a new stop on my way. Tick off that, gotta get 8.
Tourist spot that shows local flavor and culture that makes your city/neighborhood unique. So they have a picture of Voodoo Donuts in, what is that, Portland?
I think that's Portland. I don't know.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's such an easy one because everyone talks about Voodoo Donuts. They said a more off the beaten path tourist attraction, i.e. if you weren't local, you wouldn't know to go there. Again, they show like a hole in the wall cafe. They have adventurous tourist attractions. Think lookout towers, observations, signs or markers atop mountain peaks, etc. So this is a picture of one of those things in a park that like show like restroom this way, trail this way.
Yeah, why is that a...
I mean, those make sense. You want somebody to, like,
I mean, you want people out and about. You want them to go to the forest areas where Pokemon don't spawn because people aren't using the phone there. So, you know, sign all of those up so that nothing will spawn there and nobody will visit them.
Easy things like public parks, public libraries, public places of worship, transit stations. Although for transit stations, it says... Submit hubs like Grand Central Station, but not every smaller transit stop like a subway station or a bus stop. Look, it's Niantic's game and their rules, but I feel like bus stops should qualify. I don't know.
No,
like how much?
They should not.
You don't think so? They're not on every corner. They're like every 8 blocks.
Yeah, if every Starbucks can be a stop, then every bus stop can be a stop.
There's more Starbucks pays
big bucks to get there, and they serve
coffee.
Yeah,
you know what's going to happen in like 6 months? It's going to be like, oh, sorry, our Starbucks membership ended. We're removing 30,000 Pokestops from one city. If you're going to make somebody stand and suffer at a bus stop, at least give them the option to spin it. I actually hate this rule. Okay, the following.
So when are you going to submit your house, you know, Pokemon Podcast Museum?
There's nothing near my house that would qualify as a Pokestop.
You could show your wall as a local hangout for major Pokemon fans, because it's on stream all the time.
Okay.
And just have people tromping through your house. It's a win-win.
There's nothing near me that qualifies as a Pokestop, but in downtown Wauwatosa, there was a community project where they painted a bunch of murals like every two blocks on the side of all the buildings, and they're really great. There's some on my Instagram. I took one of like Rose Raiden, one of Scyther.
Oh yeah, those are awesome.
But they just put those up like 4 or 5 months ago, and none of them are Pokestops, and I believe they all qualify, so I'm going to actually try to do those, which is great, because the downtown Tosa area already has a lot of stops, but this would literally be a new stop every two blocks to fit in between the ones that already exist. Okay, so ineligible would be nominations that do not have pedestrian access, so they show, like, welcome to our city, but it's in the middle of the... It's on the, what do they call that? The median between
the median. Yes.
Two roads. So that's not eligible.
I mean, not with that attitude.
Nominations on the ground of primary/elementary, secondary/high schools, preschools, kindergartens, or childcare centers. So you are not allowed to do any of those schools, but universities and higher education institutes are acceptable. So college and private college, I guess. Community college, technical college.
Do you go to college or private college? I go to private college, thank you very much.
Nominations with a private residential property including farms, so they show a picture of somebody's fountain in their yard, so you cannot submit your fountain.
But if you paint a mural on your garage door in the alley, you could get away with it, I think.
I think you're right, yeah.
Get on it.
If you take a picture in a certain way, they won't tell it's your garage.
If you zoom in on that tiny, tiny fountain, they'll be like, sure.
Nominations that obstruct the driveway of emergency services or may interfere with operations such as fire stations, police stations, hospitals, military bases, industrial sites, power plants, and air traffic control towers.
Get wrecked, holiday travelers. That tower you've been sitting at for 4 hours ain't going to be a stop.
Ineligible. Nominations that are not permanent, including seasonal displays, only put up specific times. They're showing a Christmas tree here.
Now, there are Christmas stores that are up 24/7. I feel that this is unjust.
But
unfair.
would you take your community there for the first time?
You did we not take you to a Christmas store in the middle of summer when you're here from all of America for your birthday? Yes, we did.
That's probably ineligible. So... Nominations that do not have a fixed location: boats, trains, food trucks, and mobile libraries.
Mobile libraries.
Yeah.
What's a mobile library?
Why does Niantic hate my transportation? I can't submit my local mobile library. I can't submit a bus stop.
It's all temporary. I mean, really, if you think about it, everything's temporary. Nothing's permanent. None of these should be stops.
Ineligible nominations that are not an object, but a person, body part, or animal.
No, you got to get creative how to sneak your dog into the picture like I did.
Nominations of a photo or materials you do not own, which is, I don't know
just
how you would
everything?
Do it's... this because, well, okay, so when I submitted the Lego thing, I had to take two pictures.
I get it, yeah.
I guess you couldn't, like, go to Lego's website and copy their picture and then submit it, but there was no way to do that on the phone. It, like, just forced you to take a picture.
Does it mean you can't take a picture of a picture?
Oh, that would make sense.
Like, you can't screen cap it.
Well, then, wouldn't that be like... Okay. Got it. Never mind.
Nominations of a low-quality photo.
It took me a long time to figure out that they were showing this is being taken from
my car.
Yeah,
in this it took me a second, but in this picture, there's, like, the car dashboard, so that would make it ineligible.
At first, I'm like, oh, what a weird railing. Oh.
You are not allowed to submit cemeteries or gravestones or burial grounds.
But you can do churches.
Do not submit a gravestone unless the object belongs to a famous / historical figure, is 50 or more years old, and open to the public. Memorials that do not contain burials are acceptable.
Well, what's considered famous?
Park was great.
Like
anything
Instagram famous?
Yeah.
Twitter famous? Or like...
Well, anyone's famous, Instagram famous right now, you have to wait the 50 year.
50 years before their career is dead. And then, when they're no longer an influencer, then you can take a picture of their gravestone, of their closed Instagram account, and be like, I found this on the side of the road next to this bus stop.
Nominations that are mass-produced art pieces or objects. Do not submit these unless the nomination has some culture significance. This, like, makes no sense.
There are a number of street signs that are mass-produced for specific colors or for specific things. I think they're trying to stop, like, here's a collection of really cool artistic street signs, but they don't necessarily have a cultural... They just did it to pretty up, like, let's beautify the streets. Like, they're trying to stop that stuff.
Ineligible nominations that are natural features. This includes a nomination where a subject is a lake, river, stream, mountain, volcano, or waterfall.
Get wrecked,
photos
Hawaii,
that include man-made points of interest, plaques, signs near the natural features are acceptable.
We want the sign, not the feature.
We don't want your beautiful view.
We don't
just
want
give
your beautiful
us the
vista.
Sign.
Yeah, what is wrong? What is up with that?
Look, there's a lot of mountains.
I think my only guess is, like, if you take a picture of a mountain or a river or a stream, that's like not directing. That's like.
It could be anywhere.
What makes your view better than somebody else's view, where it's like you can't argue over the one sign that exists?
I guess.
Would be maybe my guess. Okay, ineligible nominations that are adult-oriented stores or services, such as Kmart, Sears, Target, Walmart.
Sears is no longer in existence. Nor is Kmart.
Those are all adult stores.
Oh, and believe me. Every target's a Pokestop here. Do not.
Okay,
do
so
not
the actual thing it says is liquor stores, adult entertainment, shooting ranges, firearm stores, etc.
Okay, so the picture they have, which is Liquor Party Port, which is an amazing name. but anybody who actually drinks...
Three sheeps on sale, beer of the month, lakefront, $7.99.
Why does this liquor store sell livestock? I'm not understanding this sign.
This is what... Okay, this actually does... This one doesn't make sense either. I understand, like... Okay, I get it. Don't tag liquor stores. Don't tag adult entertainment. Don't tag shooting ranges. Although, you could argue that, like, establishments that serve alcohol beverages like bars and pubs are acceptable. Like, I have a pub near me that was a Pokestop, and then it turned into a gym just recently, which is like kind of great because I could tell when that, because I can see it from my house. If I opened up Pokemon Go, I'd be like, oh, you, the day there was a new event, that pub was popping. There was lures all night long at this one pub. So, you know, somebody's there getting slammed and they're catching Pokemon every
Take
night.
A shot. Spin the...
Taking a shot, spinning the stop.
Spin
so it's like,
stop.
Oh, there's a new event. 9 times out of 10, that from my house, I could see that, oh, there's going to be lures all night long. But now, I can't see that anymore because you can't lure gyms. So I'm very confused on, like, what triggered that Pokestop being a gym. Was it just because one dude was getting plastered every night and, like, lighting up with lures?
Yeah. This is a hopping place. Plus, these people drunk spend on coins all night.
Because
Light it up.
The pub itself is... No one's going to it because bus stops can't be stops. No one's walking over there to spin that stop. There's only like four people in that bar spinning it at night. I don't know.
What's making it
a gym? This is so confusing. But... why are pubs acceptable, but...
we haven't gotten to the best ineligible yet.
Oh,
so
yeah,
we
I know. This,
so
is,
we can get to.
This is possibly the best content we've had on this show. All right. Potentially confusing nominations. Here we go.
Potentially confusing is the greatest.
Whole article
is
confusing.
Section.
If my Lego stop doesn't get approved, I'm... deleting Pokemon.
I'm guessing it won't get approved, to be completely honest with you, Steve. And I'm sorry.
I am writing them.
You can submit a pub, but you can't submit a Lego store.
Submitting the pub, not the mass-produced bottles inside. Thank you very much.
Okay, before we get to potentially confusing, do you guys think Apple stores should be submitted?
No. No. Well,
no?
They're culturally significant.
They're culturally significant. They're high traffic community areas. You are allowed to go to an Apple store to use their internet, and there are tons of people in Apple stores that are paying their bills. Bobby and I mean, both know this. Yeah. Apple provides good service of providing people with free internet to pay their water bill.
If Apple's decides to do an official partnership with Pokemon Go,
they would never.
Yes.
And also, most Apple stores are already Pokestops.
And they're also changing Apple stores to be like kind of like entertainment areas.
And they have learning. Like, yeah, they have like workshops where you can literally walk in, sit down, and learn about stuff. I would say... my Apple store near the Lego store is not an Apple store. It's not a Pokestop.
Oh, I see where this is going.
But if you were to go to like Fifth Ave, literally any Apple store in New York or Chicago, all of those Apple stores are Pokestops. And mostly because their architecture is so great that
right.
alone makes
yeah.
it. But the
if it's
Apple
like
store
the bland,
is in malls.
If it's the bland store in Mall of America, then heck no.
No, the Apple store in Mall of America is a Pokestop.
It?
Yeah. But good. Usually they're Pokestops because there is some sort of uniqueness outside to the Apple store. I don't know. I feel like Apple stores qualify.
I think they should, although the ones in San Diego don't have much uniqueness to them, unfortunately.
The one in Uptown looks exactly like the one in Roseville. So, like, I don't know. I think it's part of this potentially confusing.
All right, let's get to the potentially confusing here. The following examples cover situations that have generated questions and confusion whether these should be submitted or not. Graffiti tags. While spray paint artwork and murals are acceptable, graffiti tags that just include the graffiti's writer's name and initials are ineligible. Additionally, graffiti tags are often regularly removed, so they may be ineligible under non-permanent criteria. I think that one's fair.
That's fair.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Ineligible. Generic. Generic local business locations. Generic local businesses do not meet criteria on their own without having historical culture value, community significance, or distinctive architecture. They show a picture of a hot pink and neon green.
How is that generic?
Yeah,
what town is it that this hot pink and lime green color scheme is generic? I want to live there. It is the most amazing picture with the wildest description of what it is.
Is that is like a metal roof, right? Like a pink metal roof
yes,
on there too.
Yeah. Okay, but does this go roof? Back to rule number one? Like if Greg is in town. And I'm like, oh, Greg, I got the perfect, this hot pink hole in the wall, literally shack on the side of a parking garage. They got the best corn dogs. Mm. I need to take you there. Does that not then qualify?
No, because I'm going to be like, ooh, yikes, Steve. This looks really generic.
Eligible.
Yes. Just so you're aware, graffiti, nah.
Graffiti, nah. Street art and urban art, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, informal artwork or works created with spray paint are eligible as long as they represent cool as let me reread this as long informal informal artworks and works created with spray paint are eligible so as long as they represent cool pieces of art.
Okay, I cool. want to work at Niantic to be on the cool pieces of art committee. This is cool. This plain tree is cool. Hot pink building, generic. It's obvious. Duh. I can't even believe we're having this conversation. This
but the pub down the street from me with the sandbag game, that's allowed to be a stop.
Well, yeah.
Heck, we'll make it a gym.
Yeah.
Because one guy was pumping in 80 cents every 30 minutes. So that's we're going to turn it into a gym.
Yeah.
The subtitle of the next one is the best.
Ineligible. High quality object with low quality image. That's the name of my new podcast. High quality audio, low quality content.
That's this one. You already are doing it.
A nomination that would otherwise be acceptable is ineligible if the photo is low quality. Ineligible. Sculpture on roundabout without pedestrian access.
Again. Not with that attitude. Everything is accessible.
Ineligible. Yeah. Nomination with photo that unnecessarily includes people. As a general rule...
I
don't know what's happening in this photo. As a general rule, don't submit a photo that includes people if you can avoid it. If you can't, like a crowded tourist attraction, you may submit the photo with people so long as they're not in focus or posing for the camera.
Oh, unnecessarily include people. Is it great?
Going back to my Lego stop, it took forever to get a picture where there was no people in the picture. I had to wait for everyone to walk out of the way.
Did you start yelling at people? Move!
I need to submit this Pokestop.
Eligible. Nominations with photos that include people. You may submit a photo with people as long as they're not the focus. They show a picture of the not. Is this isn't the real Eiffel Tower. It's way too small. Maybe it is.
It is.
It is.
Why does it look so tiny? Not that big.
Isn't there? There's an Eiffel Tower in Vegas, though, isn't there? It's just even.
There's a fake Eiffel Tower.
It's a fake Eiffel Tower because it's part of the Paris Hotel.
And it's smaller.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not.
This is
not
in Vegas.
There's no other buildings around.
This is not the Vegas one.
I really wish this said nominations with photos that include cool people.
Yeah.
That'd be wonderful. Oh, Niantic.
I think everyone knows this one. This is an audio podcast, so sometimes these photos are hard to explain. But this is, it says ineligible, decorative parking bollard? Is that how you say it? I've never heard that
bollard.
Word.
Bollard.
Bollard.
Bollard, yeah.
Objects like this are mass produced and have no cultural significance. Therefore, they do not meet eligibility. And it is a
Rude.
Picture of the giant red target ball. That's in front of all the targets that are...
Every target.
What which are already all Pokestops.
They are. Especially when they were painted to look like Mario and a million people submitted them as Mario murals.
Yep.
It was the greatest moment of all time.
I logged into Wayfair. My Lego store is still in queue.
Yeah, they're going to hear this and be like, denied.
Yeah.
Okay. Eligible. Nominations that are indoors. Indoor nominations are eligible so long as they're accessible to the public in some capacity. Note, these nominations are less likely to be approved because they are more likely to be on private residential property. See ineligible nomination criteria above. Or to be in an area in which groups can congregate and play comfortably. So that would make sense. I'm assuming that if you're in, I suppose like a library could have a cool sculpture in the library that you could submit.
And they often do.
Yeah.
And then whereas like museum isn't always open and probably has tons of cool things that you could submit. So that's probably
Well, malls aren't always open either.
That's true. But malls also don't have cool things every four steps.
Well, libraries aren't always open either.
I mean, and technically in Milwaukee, parks close at 10 p.m., so all the Pokestops then close themselves.
Do they really? Is that a thing? Like,
yeah, that's a thing in Milwaukee. They look like permanent Team Rocket stops, except they don't shake. They go from like a blue to that dark blue, and you can't spin them.
I've never seen a closed Pokestop before.
No.
That's interesting.
Yeah,
well, I heard you talk about them before. Yeah, but
the old
I mean, go to Milwaukee where they hate fun.
The old the old lawsuit.
Right.
For the
right.
record, that Milwaukee lost. All right. Ineligible nomination that is a private home that is registered as a historic landmark, regardless of historic value, if the location is being used as a private residence. It is ineligible.
How do they know, though? How do they know?
How can I nominate a gym is a frequently asked question. At the time, you cannot nominate a gym. Some nominations will turn into gyms. Locations are automatically designated as gyms using a number of factors. Does not list what factors are.
Yeah. No, it does not. Like a bunch of drunk people spinning the stop.
Yeah.
Look, it's not even that popular of a pub. I don't understand.
I mean, I don't know why my AT&T building sculpture became a gym either, but it did. So my lure days are gone.
Yeah, that's always a bummer when that happens. They needed to just add lures to gyms.
Seriously, why can't you add a lure to a gym?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Or wait, why can't I add a lure to a gym?
All right, well, there's your... actively trying to make Pokemon Go a better game here. Cut us some slack, Niantic. We're trying. Before we go to break, Bobby, did you do the 3-hour thing?
I was at Balboa Park, the giant park next to where I usually do community day. But it wasn't like the focus of why I was there. So I did like one raid on my way there. Wasn't shiny. Wasn't even great. So that was it.
It seems, at least for me, I have a full friends list.
I like how you didn't even ask.
No, I know. I know Greg didn't do it.
I didn't do it.
It seems for me, I would always have the issue where I had just, I can only open 20 gifts a day, and I just have way too many gifts to get to everyone. But recently, and I'm guilty of this too, I haven't been playing a lot because of Sword and Shield, which we're going to talk about a bunch of Sword and Shield news after the break here. I have tried to open 20 gifts, and I feel like I don't have 20 gifts to open. So I know I'm not playing a lot, but it seems at least on my friends list of 200, which is a small sample size, no one's sending gifts anymore. And there has been, after event. Niantic hasn't really slowed down on events, although I would argue that these events have not been as great.
No.
Mm-mm.
I went from having like 100 gifts to open to not even having 20 gifts to open.
And part of that may be, I know I'm guilty of this, I'm really bad at the whole gift giving and opening gift thing to begin with. I always have like a full amount of gifts or whatever in my items thing.
I have a lot.
Yeah, I don't ever remember to do that.
My issue is that my bag fills up. And once my bag fills up and I have to go manage it, I'm like, I'm over opening gifts. I'm done. Yep,
that's
I'm
also...
done. And the fact that most of the time I get Stardust and maybe one other thing, and that would not have filled my bag simply be like, it's like, it was all Stardust. Just let me open them and go over by two and then stop the next one. It's super frustrating.
Yeah, it knows what it's going to be. It should just let you open it up.
It's
going to be
Stardust. Open all of these. These are all Stardust.
Or if my bag is full, just give me nothing but Stardust. That's all I want.
Just switch it over to a Stardust system.
Yeah, right.
Nobody needs items.
Just Stardust. I think that the other thing is, and a lot of people have been saying this, like the events haven't been good lately. But honestly, They've been events that allow people to not really feel like they need to make a choice between like Sword and Shield and Go. And it sort of makes me wonder if like that's was part of like the Pokemon Company's like plan. So like do these kind of like not as high key events during the like first month of Sword and Shield, not that like just to keep people playing the other game for a little bit and then jump back into it with, cause you know, there'll be a holiday event like in a couple weeks, I'm sure. And then
there will not be.
Well, the like the 2-part community day is next weekend.
Yeah. And then
get
I think
everything you already got.
Yeah, exactly. But then there'll be a holiday event. They'll have Delibird again and that whole thing. And that'll be a bigger event. That'll be more like the Halloween event, I'm guessing. And then it'll go from there. But I don't know. It just seems like interesting that there's all these like small events that you can do if you want to, but they're not like, you know, they're not great grand events. And that felt the same time that Sword and Shield came out. So I don't know. I kind of feel like there's like a, hey, play this a little bit, but like focus on this game instead. And then holidays come around, hop back into Go for the holiday.
Well, I imagine also it gets harder around wintertime and big holidays. Like the thought of my main option for next community event is going to Mall of America because it's going to be -1 outside. So outside is not an option, but I would have to go to the biggest mall 2 weeks before Christmas.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? No.
I don't know. As for like the, for instance, this event, I think this event's actually pretty great. Like the spawns that are everything that's spawning is like fun. It's just like different stuff. But I think that it is, like you said, in part weather. But I really do think too, like a lot of people are just deciding to set it down to play another game right now. I don't know. Like, I also think, I feel like this is the part of the year every year where we see this. I don't know. I think a big part is weather, but I also think that it might just be a different time where people just want to play something else.
We'll take a break here. When we come back, we got a bunch of Sword and Shield news to run through, and then we have our question of the week. No Pokemon of the week, because Will is out of town.
Because Will is at the PAX.
He's PAX.
He's got the PAX at the PAX.
Oh, PAX Unplugged or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, PAX Unplugged.
All right, we'll be right back. I don't know if we've ever brought this up on the show before, but I am officially sponsored and partnered with G Fuel. And I don't think it's ever been in ad format, but my G Fuel code is 30% off for the next couple weeks here. It ends on December 26th. So if you have never tried G Fuel and you're looking to maybe dabble in it, my code PKMNCAST, Pokemon Cast, just short, same as my Twitch name, same as every other shorthand, PKMNCAST.com, etc. Everything but the Twitter. It's 30% off. Normally it's always 10% off and it does support me directly. But it's 30% off for the next couple weeks. So if you're interested in trying G Fuel, they do have a couple of starter kits that come with 7 different flavors that you can dabble in. I don't know why I keep using the word dabble. But if you want some actual recommendations of flavors I personally like and drink, I would recommend Battle Juice, Sour Blue Chug Rug, Cotton Candy, Golden Apple Pear, or Phase Berry. And if you don't know what G Fuel is, I probably should have led with that. G Fuel is an energy drink. So think of it kind of like Crystal Light. It's a powder that you mix with water, and it has caffeine in it. A little bit more caffeine than a cup of coffee would do. It has no sugar. It has a bunch of different flavors that I also didn't name, but I named you the favorite ones that I personally like. So again, if you're interested, gfuel.com ends on December 26th, so you have plenty of time. Code PKMNCAST. And if you get it, let me know what you think. Even if you like it, if you don't like it, would love to know. I've been drinking it every day for almost 2 years, and I do like it a lot. Otherwise, I wouldn't be bringing it up and shilling it. But I'll let you guys get back to the episode, and yeah. Okay, we are back, and let's get this news out of the way real quick before we do Sword and Shield stuff. Mewtwo and new gears arrive in Pokemon Rumble Rush.
I literally forgot that was a game.
Looking forward to more excitement in Rumble Rush, Greg?
I am looking for any excitement in Rumble Rush, so hit me up.
Starting November 27th, more than 100 new Pokemon will be added to the game, including Alolan Raichu and Galissapod. Plus, the legendary Pokemon Mewtwo has begun to appear, including as a special gift. Wait, where was the National Dexers on this game?
Yeah.
I didn't know this game was missing Pokemon. There are also new Pokemon powers to get that can be increased, the CP of certain Pokemon. You can also check out new style powers like Grappler, which cause Pokemon to do more damage if it's closer. There are some new update gameplay tweaks. The amount of damage per second you deal will be displayed on the screen. There will also be total damage done to super bosses. There you go. Rumble Rush still kicking it, I guess. There was also an update to Pokemon Masters. They also added Mewtwo to Pokemon Masters. Are you back in, Greg?
I play every once in a while. I will say this, to their credit, the rewards are a little bit better, but still to their detriment, the gameplay, real boring still, and still very grindy, but the rewards are better, so it doesn't feel as soul-crushing when I play, but it certainly doesn't get me to play a lot.
Don't you just have to do the one event over and over and over again to get Mewtwo?
You can. So the level at which you can do it, so you have to get 800 of the Mewtwo tickets.
Oh, only 800.
Yeah, only 800 to unlock Mewtwo, unlock the chance to get Mewtwo. I'm kind of confused as to how that part works, because I do not have the 800 Mewtwo tickets. But lower levels naturally give you very few of those tickets, and the higher levels give you more. So I can't do the max level because, look, I don't care that much. Like, I can only spend so much time trying to grind out the necessary items to up all of these people I need. So I'm at like the third level, and I think I get 30 the first time I do it, and then like 20 every attempt after. It's a bit of a chug.
And that sounds fun.
Yeah, and the problem is you only can really get those tickets by doing the cooperative. You're paired with two other people. And sometimes those other people, just like max raid battles, are really bad and don't bring good Pokemon. And so I could spend sometimes 5 minutes trying to chug through this and be the last person standing and have no hope of getting through it because I've just wasted 5 minutes. And you get nothing if you fail. So it's just like, okay. So I do spend some time on it, but the minute I hit any sort of, like, any hint of frustration in that game, I'm out. I can go play a multitude of other better games. Plus, there's a really good Pokemon game out right now that I would much rather play than Masters.
There's also a special Legendary Rally, which has players giving players a chance to earn up to 4,200 gems within a 14-day period if they just log in. So don't forget to play every day.
Yep. You can get a lot of things. The, you know, summoning portal still is one of the worst experiences of all summoning games, but go for it, everybody.
This is off Pokemon.com. 2020 Pokemon Video Game Championship Format Rules VGC. Tournaments will be shifting to Sword and Shield starting January 4th. We'll go through the rules. Real quick here, all battles will be double battles played in Pokemon Sword and Pokemon Shield. Each player will need to own a Nintendo Switch or a Nintendo Switch Lite and a physical or digital version of Pokemon Sword and Pokemon Shield to compete. Pokemon will need to be have to be caught in the Galar region, showing a Galar symbol. I don't know what that symbol is supposed to look like.
I think it's the Pokeball. If you look at your Pokedex with the air, with like the
triangles coming out of it,
blades. I always thought it was like a sword kind of going through. I thought it was like a sword slash going through like a shield that's the Pokeball or something like that.
Got it.
Yeah.
If you bred and made a perfect Ferrothorn in Sun and Moon. Unfortunately, you'll have to do that work over again. All Pokemon from the Galar region regional Pokedex will be permitted except for mythical Pokemon and certain legendary Pokemon. Pretty sure they still don't want to say Eternatus' name at this point.
Right.
Yeah.
All Pokemon will be set to level 50, including Pokemon below level 50. Duplicate Pokemon are not allowed. Duplicate held items, not allowed. Each battle will open with a 90-second team preview phase. Players will have 7 minutes of your time, 45 seconds of move time, and now returning to the VGC, 15 minutes of game time in each battle. Additionally, restrictions apply to Pokemon that are Gigantamaxing. Some Pokemon are very rare. There are some opportunities to find them more frequently. For instance, from Friday, November 15th to January 20th, you are more likely to encounter G-Max Dreadnought in Pokemon Sword, G-Max Corviknight in Pokemon Shield, and Gigantamax Butterfree in Max Raid battles. Why are they refusing to mention Sandaconda and Senescorch? Because they're obviously boosted too.
Are they boosted?
Are they? Maybe they're just not as boosted as...
I don't think they're as boosted, but they're definitely boosted.
Well, I think it's the fact that the event was Butterfree, right? That was like the one that they were...
Yeah, that was the big event.
And then the Sandaconda and the Senescorch are available in both, I think, versus like the Dreadnought being more likely in Sword and Corviknight being more likely in Shield. So they're like going with the... They're just mentioning, I think, the exclusive of like what's more likely to happen, and then also the event that they've announced.
I see.
Yeah.
Permitted to Gigantamax will expand every few months in which these Pokemon will become more common. As of January 4th, the following Pokemon are able to Gigantamax: Butterfree, Corviknight, Dreadnought, Sentiscorch, Meowth, Pikachu, Eevee, Snorlax, Sandaconda, and Charizard, only with the ability Blaze.
Those are the ones that are permitted. Allowed. Okay.
Yeah.
Did you guys do the competition this weekend? The nope. Galar Beginnings?
I signed up and then I forgot. Okay. I haven't done it.
Well, I bred Pokemon, but I just didn't do it.
Before 6 p.m. your time, I think, to get your 50 battle points.
Okay, I'll do that after this.
It's just an easier way to get battle points.
It is an easy way to get battle points because you get... It was weird that they decided singles, but I don't know. Maybe they were testing.
Yeah. I mean, I have just been working through, like, I just rented somebody's team that did all the work for me and just been working through the battle tower. It's super easy. I'm like,
yeah. So battle tower gives you 2 battle points per battle. I think if you win, right? If you lose, you don't get any.
Nope.
This gives you 50 battle.
You get 3, right?
Yeah.
This gives you 50 battle points just by doing... You only had to do one match. You didn't have to do 3. I was so surprised how many people didn't know about this Galar Beginnings. I don't know, like, do they need to just start hitting players with a notification when they, like, connect to the internet? Because the amount of people that came into my stream, and I stream daily. I'm not trying to advertise my stream, but
yeah, you are. Sell out.
Just like on the podcast, I like to, you know, make sure people are up to date with stuff. It was just like every day I would be like, hey, you should sign up for the Galar Beginnings thing, because once it starts, you cannot sign up, and it is the easiest way to get 50 battle points. You don't need a team ready. You just have to go into versus, go to live competition or whatever the one was, click on official competition and then click sign up. It is 4 button presses. Unlike the GTS, you don't have to go to a website. You don't have to go to Festival Plaza. You don't have to link your ID. It is the easiest thing to do. And you could have done it the minute you got your starter Pokemon.
4 clicks, though.
4 clicks. Every day I would remind people to do it. And then all of this past week, I was building a team, and people would come in and they would be like, what are you building? What are you doing? And I'm like, I'm building a team for the tournament. They'd be like, oh, there's a tournament this week. And I'd be like, yep, you should definitely sign up right now. When you ask this question about what was I doing? I'm building a team for this tournament. And then on Friday or Thursday night when the tournament started, I'm like, well, the tournament started. I guess we gotta skip some steps here and just go with what we got. And then on Friday, it was like, oh, I didn't know there was a tournament. How do I sign up? I've been telling you guys for 3 weeks. Well, every day.
Rip. I didn't do it.
So, if you're listening to this podcast, the next tournament, you can sign up immediately. You do not need a team ready. Your team is locked in when you're ready to actually compete. So just sign up. Even if you don't think you're going to do it, you could change your mind last minute and then go in with a Squovit and a Rookidee and a Yamper and a Boltund. Doesn't matter, because almost every single time it just requires you to do 3 matches to get your reward. And you can lose all 3. There's no penalty. Just for future references, sign up when they give you the opportunity.
And as someone who has lost almost every single match he's ever done in these tournaments, I will say you absolutely still get the reward.
I win sometimes.
I won like once, maybe twice.
Okay, those were the VGC 2020 rules. Before we get to our big news, I'm going to throw it over to Maddie. She is doing a new segment on the show. She actually recorded this when she was at the Galler Gala. So because we weren't doing normal episodes, it's a little bit late, but still worthy. Think of it as a pilot, you know, test episode. Maddie put this together. She came to me with it. We're going to throw in this episode. Like I said, test pilot. Let me know what you guys think in Slack or on Twitter about this segment. We might be running it again in the future with some different stuff. But take it away, Maddie.
Thanks, Steve. Happy Pokemon Sword and Shield Day, and welcome to the first episode of Maddie on the Move, a brand new series on the It's Super Effective podcast, where me, Maddie, goes on the move into public to see what people think about Pokemon. Tonight, I'm going to Will, co-host of the podcast, party, welcoming in the new game. Let's go inside and see what people think. All right, I'm here with Robert at the Galar Gala. I just want to get some thoughts. Robert, one word, what do you think of the game?
Cute. Yeah, so I played it by myself for a little while, and it was fine, standard Pokemon fare. But now that I'm here with a bunch of people and playing socially, it is 6 times more magical.
Do you hear that? 6 times. Steven, what are you doing right now?
I am playing Fetch with a Snover right now, and it is magical.
Tell me, what does your face look like while you're doing this?
I'm assuming it's the face of a child on Christmas morning.
You look joyful and also tearful.
Yep.
Greg, can you tell me what you're doing right now?
I am preparing to do a max raid battle to fight a gigantic Natu.
Are you afraid?
No. It's just a Natu.
Is there anyone that you could fight that you'd be afraid of?
There's a lot in the wild area that are very high-powered, and I run from them at all times. There's a giant beware that's wandering around that I'm pretty sure wants to kill me.
Well, I wish you luck, Greg.
Thank you.
Cameron, I notice you don't have a Switch.
Sort of. My husband has one.
What do you think of all this Pokemon craziness?
I like that you can have a pet bacon that fights like a skunk or whatever.
I also like that. I don't know the names of any Pokemon. Can you explain to me the one that you found notable earlier today?
Oh, the one that's face looks like a butt.
Yeah,
but
I like...
But then also the bacon.
Yeah, I like that. Do you want the butt or the bacon?
I guess the bacon.
All right, you heard it here first. Michael, how many of these people have you met before tonight?
Zero.
And why did you come?
I was listening to the podcast, and Will had spoken about the party, and so I wanted to show up and hang out.
And thoughts?
It's a lot of fun, and the new game's super awesome, and it's great meeting new people.
And I also heard you're not part of the Slack. Can you explain why not?
Well, I'm fairly new to the podcast, but it's something that I definitely want to get started on soon, so shortly here.
Because the Slack's really good.
That's what I've been hearing, and I'm definitely going to be joining up shortly.
The mods are really cool.
I don't know about that one.
All right, well, we'll talk to you later. Okay, I'm making my rounds. Next up is Vince. Vince, one word, what do you think of the game?
Amazing.
Okay, two words, what do you think of the game?
Really amazing.
Yeah. That's quite a statement. Do you have anything else to say?
I am very happy with the selection of Pokemon that I found so far.
Which one's your favorite?
Still Scorbunny.
Yeah, Scorbunny's the coolest. Mm-hmm. What did you name your Scorbunny?
I'm doing a wrestling theme for all of my names, so my Scorbunny is Becky Lynch.
All right, this was the first episode of Maddie on the Move, the brand new segment on It's Super Effective, the Pokemon podcast. This has been approved by Steve Black Jr. Well, I'm at your party. Do you have anything to say?
I'm just very grateful that you showed up at my party and that all these other wonderful people are here enjoying playing Sword and Shield.
Do you think they're happy I'm walking around interviewing them?
Some of them are, and some of them, I think, are just confused.
I get it. Well, there you have it. Thanks for listening to the first episode of Maddie on the Move. We'll see you in cyberspace. Now, back to you, Steve.
Thanks, Maddie, for that coverage. Now time for the big news of the episode. This is off Pokemon.com. Pokemon Sword and Pokemon Shield Max Raid Battle Tips.
Okay, you skipped the clickbait. The clickbait title on the main page is Fight Huge Pokemon for Fabulous Prizes.
Oh, okay. That is very clickbaity.
That is clickbaity because the prizes are not fabulous.
They're pretty okay.
For prizes. Like,
here's some clickbait. I got some hot max raid tips to share with you.
Is it changing my date? Because I'm not going to do that.
No, it's not changing your date. They're all my tips are legal within the game.
Good grief.
How Galar. One of the most exciting new features of Pokemon Sword and Shield is max raid battles. Fighting battles against humongous Pokemon is pretty cool on its own.
Yeah.
We'll have to ask Niantic about this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get with it, Niantic. Wait, they've been doing gigantic sized Pokemon for a while.
And it's a great way to get rare Pokemon and valuable items. Plus, it's one of the few times you get to team up with friends and work together to defeat an opponent instead of battling each other. If you are looking for some tips on how to make the most out of max raid battles, or if you're wondering if you should bother with them at all, we've got the scoop. Learn from...
The Pokemon company has the scoop.
Learn
with this? Yes.
What you can from max raid battles, how to trigger new ones, tips for defeating, and how to encounter rare Pokemon like Ditto by using wishing pieces. If you're looking for a reason to engage in max raid battles beyond having fun with your friends or with the game-controlled trainers like Martin... and that darn Solrock that won't stop using cosmic power. This is literally...
They admit it!
They literally write this in the game, or in the press release.
They know that this is a problem. The AI is the worst.
Look.
Stop bringing Magikarp to an electric fight.
I will give Pokemon Masters $100 if they add Martin and his Solrock to the game.
Yeah, okay, I'm back in.
Max raid battles are a great way to encounter Pokemon that rarely appear in the wild, and Pokemon that otherwise appear only under certain weather conditions like Lucario may also appear. But even if you recognize the silhouette of a max raid battle opponent and realize you already have it registered into your Pokedex, think twice before declining the battle. Pokemon you capture in max raid battles are... the only Pokemon in Galar that may have hidden abilities. This was a lot of misinformation going around. You can only get hidden ability Pokemon in this game in max raid battles. That being said, if you have a hidden ability Pokemon, yes, you could breed it. But the brilliant Pokemon do not have hidden abilities. That was been...
Yeah.
Not, can't happen.
Yeah.
They're also guaranteed to have at least one individual strength at maximum in higher max raid battles, at least 3 or 4. This has also been misinformed. Typically, these Pokemon are pretty high level compared to other wild Pokemon, whether you're looking to expand your roster against other players or just to add Pokemon to your team, max raid battles are an incredible shortcut. So for the IVs, a 5-star raid is guaranteed 4 IVs, not 5. It can have 5. It can also have 6, but guaranteed minimum 4. 4-star max raid battle guaranteed 3. 3-star guaranteed 2. 2-star guaranteed 1. 2 and 1 stars you're not going to see anyways once you beat the game, so it doesn't matter. A 5-star raid can have 5 or 6, but you're only guaranteed minimum 4. So keep that in mind. You also will earn a treasure trove of items regardless of whether you capture the Pokemon or not. It is the only way to get Dynamax candy to boost your Dynamax Pokemon levels and to increase the amount of HP when they get by Dynamaxing or Gigantamaxing. Max raid battles are a great source of HP candies, rare candies, TRs, and high value items like Big Pearls and Big Nuggets. If you're looking to level up your Pokemon quickly, the rewards for doing max raid battles are the absolute fastest way to do so. Okay, we'll stop right here. Sorry, I have a lot to say about this stuff. I think that max raid battles are significantly better for leveling up than battling Chansey over and over.
Absolutely agreed.
Yes.
Because you're getting a variety of Pokemon to battle, and you're getting to do a repetitive... Both are repetitive. I'm not saying they're not. A lot of max raid battles I'm on autopilot, but I think if I'm picking two repetitive things over, I want to pick max raid battle over Chansey.
I mean,
or Audino in like, Black and White.
You are getting candies, not actual experience. Like,
yes,
let's be clear. Like, you are going in, and you will like your level of Pokemon will get nothing from that battle. But you will get the candies that you can use on anything. And that's the sort of important thing of why it makes it a slightly better repetitive object, because you're not having to repeat it on a specific. You're getting the tools to use on anything that you want to level. And they are pretty generous with the amount of candies that you get.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Well, also on top of the repetitiveness, like it's repetitive, but you're at least not fighting the same species over and over again. There's the variety in being able to battle different Pokemon species with different IVs, shiny opportunity for multiple species versus like having 47 shiny Chanseys because that's all you do to level up. So I think there's a lot of...
You get to meet Martin and his Solrock.
Yeah, who can, you know, who wants to
who
not meet Martin and his Solrock?
Martin.
Yeah, I think it's
Stupid
better for
Martin.
Sure.
They said that Game Freak was lazy and just copy and pasted. I didn't see Martin in Sun and Moon.
Oh, he was there. He's always been there.
Now, I will admit that Blissey bases in Omega Ruby, Alpha Sapphire, you get a Pokemon 100 in mere seconds.
In a second.
But
those were the best. Orisa is the best game.
But I think ideally...
Blissey bases ruled.
I think there has to be a balance of... There doesn't have to be, but there should be a balance in a video game of like the money... should be spent on things that matter, and you should have a way to spend money. Like in all Grand Theft Auto games, not counting Grand Theft Auto Online, there's a certain point where you don't have any money and you desperately want money, and then when you get to the end of the game where you have too much money that even if you spent it all, there's nothing to really buy. Mm-hmm. And Pokemon games have struggled with this of like, well, I don't have anything to buy. And in this game, I think there is a really good balance where there's a bunch of ways to get money really easily, but there's also a bunch of things to spend it on if you are going past, you know, just the credits.
But even, and I will say to that I feel like this game made it, and maybe it was just because you have the max raid battles at your, you know, at any point in time, but I didn't feel like there was ever a point where I was like desperately needed money, right? Like from the get-go, I feel like you pretty much had what you needed just fine, and I feel like in other Pokemon games, there's a point where you're like, oh man, like I wish I had more. In older games, but in this one for sure, like you had your money was fine the whole time, at least from my experience.
Yeah, the only time I did run out of money midway through the story because I was like, oh, I should buy these TMs. And then I was like, oh, wait, I'm out of money now. Maybe I should have waited to buy these TMs until I beat the game.
Sure.
I haven't bought everything that I want, but I mean, I didn't feel like I was strapped for cash, but I did feel with some of the fashion choices that were vital buys that I was a little low on cash.
Oh, I will say in Sword and Shield, I hatched a shiny Galarian Farfetch'd, and so I was like, and I had the hidden ability on it, and so I was like, okay, great, I want to level this thing up because I hadn't beaten the game yet. So I was like, I want to level this thing up and take it into the end part of the game, and got it to like level 60 something before realizing how to evolve it to Sirfetch'd.
Oh yeah, because they're
like, we're just remembering like how to evolve it to Sirfetch'd, and then was like, oh no, I've made this too powerful now. So like I can't, I had to get really lucky. I found a high enough level Pokemon in the wild area and was able to in 3 shots knock it out, but all 3 shots were critical.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. That's a cool way to evolve it too. For those that don't know, Galarian Farfetch'd will only evolve into Sirfetch'd if you do 3 critical hits in a battle.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to have the item, right?
No item, I don't think.
Well, having the leak makes it hit more critical likely. More likely. So that was what did it for me.
I heard you can do dire hit to increase critical too.
You can do dire hit. That'll increase critical, but I didn't really have any trainers to battle because I was at the point where I was like going to the end of the game. And so I was like, I have to find a wild Pokemon to do this on. And I found like a level 60 Scraggy or something. And I was trying to do like a move that would be not very effective, but critical. And I was able to get 3 shots in before it fainted.
Each day, several dens will have pillars of light emitting from them, indicating that they will house a Dynamax Pokemon ready to be challenged in a Max Raid den. You will be able to see the silhouette and interact. Each den pulls from a pool of Pokemon that are likely to appear within, typically consisting of a Pokemon sharing a common type. It is random which dens activate a day, but you can activate any den yourself by using a wishing piece. These are handy items that can be found in the wild area, but most readily available by purchasing from the Rotom Rallius for 3,000 watts. You will most frequently see dens with weaker red pillars of light, but you will also find dens that will have stronger purple beams instead, like the image above. Such encounters have a second pool of rarer Pokemon that may also appear in the den. You'll find you normally won't have more than one den active at a time, the purple den. So be sure to defeat the Pokemon inside before you start using wishing pieces on other dens. That's actually a good tip. So if you're trying to get a purple den somewhere, let's say you're trying to get like a Max Elcremie, which is the den that is complete opposite of the daycare. So if you're at the daycare, turn 180 degrees and look opposite of the door and just head straight. And then in that little alcove is where Alcremies would spawn. So if you already have a bright purple one, you're not going to get G-Max Alcremie until you clear out that purple one first. So keep that in mind.
Hey, speaking of the daycare in the wild area, I've been around it, but I haven't gone into it. Do you get anything in that one, or is it just
no? You can't go in. They just
Got it. Okay, it's just the person.
Can we talk about the daycare real quick? I hate them in this game. I hate that the lady is the one that gives you the egg, but also takes your Pokemon. I hate it because I like get the egg, but then I press A like one too many times, and all of a sudden I take back my Ditto.
That's why as soon as I hit yes to accept the egg, I just mash B instead of A to get through the menus, and then I won't talk to her or do anything with her again.
Like you have to be hitting A, so like it goes to a separate window to say, hey, you picked up this egg. And then it stops the conversation. And then you have to start the conversation with her again.
I get it, though. I'm usually watching a TV while I'm doing
I'm
the egg
doing
stuff.
So
I'm
not something.
Fully paying attention to the screen.
Look, I've been playing Pokemon for 20-some years. There's a lot of A mashing and a lot of not paying attention. I don't know. I would rather have the extra step of walking into the building to switch out my Pokemon, because I'm doing that less often than I am talking to her demanding an egg over and over again.
Okay, but I will say, to against your point here, there are too many times where, like, I would walk into the building in Alola, and like by the time I got to the person and asked for the thing back, they'd be like, oh, my person outside has an egg for you. And it's like, what? No, I want
to. Yes, that's, take this that back. Happened to me a lot.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. We'll stop breeding things with low egg steps.
That's everything. You get that charm and it's like, oh, look, another egg. Oh, another one.
Put that Dratini in there.
I don't want a Dratini. I want a Dracovish, and nothing works.
Pokemon with Gigantamax Factor will only appear in such dens unless an event is going on, which is why I brought up the Sandaconda and the Sandyscorch above, because you can still get 3-star Sandacondas, which signifies that it's an event.
Yeah, that is weird then.
If you don't wait until the start of the new day to get an active batch, you can also clear out each Pokemon den emitting pillars of light in the wild area, which will cause a new set of max raid battles to appear. You may find that sometimes this triggers a phenomenon. You may find that you sometimes also trigger this phenomenon while helping friends with max raid battles. This is weird, too.
Yeah, it's wild.
So I'm not exactly sure what the rules are for this, but I know. So yesterday I had one light. I went through the whole wild area, shook my trees, and then I had a red light that was a 5-star Onyx. And I was like, all right, I got to do a 5-star Onyx. And then somebody was like, hey, I have a 5-star gold Malamar. And I was like, cool, I don't care about the Malamar. But gold raids with the yellow background give better rewards. So
when you say yellow background, do you mean like when you pop open the raid?
When you pop
like
open
red
the raid,
or yellow,
it's red or yellow. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
The red, the yellow / gold give more candy and more. It's usually one or two more TRs. So I was like, well, I want the gold stuff for just more candy. And so I did that, and then I came back and all my raids refreshed. So I'm not sure what the threshold on that is, because there was another situation where I had like 2 or 3 left over. And then I helped somebody with something, and then I came back and all my raids were different.
It'd be interesting if you helped them do their last one, it like reset it for you too, you know?
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure what triggers the reset, but
that's interesting. Huh.
Maybe do the ones you want to do before you help a friend.
Yeah, that's weird that they don't explain it. They just say
they
like,
really don't.
It can happen.
It's just I've yet to figure out the pattern of how it happens. For a while there, I thought we were at the same spot, and like I completed the den that I was at on somebody else's copy, but that does not seem to be the case. Because it usually happens with Brent and I, and he's sitting on the other couch, and he'll be nowhere near where I am in the wild area, and it will trigger. So I have not figured out what is the key.
Weird. Regardless of your skill at playing Who's That Pokemon with Dynamax Pokemon Silhouette, the game will tell you which types your opposing Pokemon are, which can help you select your Pokemon. You can only use one of your own Pokemon in max raid battles. If it gets knocked out, you'll be able to cheer your team on your turn before your Pokemon returns to action. Your cheering has several effects: restoring your teammates' HP, reducing a Dynamax Pokemon's barrier, or in the most crucial of moments, doing nothing at all.
Yep.
You and your Pokemon will team up with these other trainers. You can allow anyone to join the fight. You can set a link code so only your friends can join, or you can give up on human teammates altogether and try your luck at the in-game control trainers. Only one trainer will be able to Dynamax their Pokemon each. A player hosting the raid can be the one to Dynamax their Pokemon on first turn. If they choose not to, the opportunity to Dynamax will rotate throughout until the host gets the option to do it again on turn 5. If you go with the in-game control teammates, we strongly suggest valuing defense over offense with your Pokemon's choice. You, of course, want a partner that can dish out some damage by simply avoiding being knocked out. Can be the best strategy. Game control trainers tend to make some strange choices. And there'll typically be some fainting on your side, so it's important to keep the battle moving forward. If your team loses 4 Pokemon on your side, are knocked out, don't add to that count.
Okay, you have no choice. You are the only person pulling your weight in these things. Offense, offense, offense. Try to knock it out before Magikarp with its focus sash gets knocked out for the 8th time. Lies! They're feeding you lies. Offense, offense, offense.
Nah, I don't know. I have lost. Almost every battle I have lost is because people bring offense and they bring not the best offense. It doesn't matter what super just bring something that's super effective. The Pokemon itself doesn't have to be the right type. But it just has to have a super effective move. That's good enough.
Yeah.
But it's fine to be defensive when you are with like 3 other people. But if you're with the 3...
With you're with the AI...
AI, like, you need offense because they don't have any.
They don't do anything. If you get stuck with that Eevee that only helping hands and it keeps helping handing the Solrock, and the only thing the Solrock is doing is raising its special defense and special attack through Calm Mind, you are getting nowhere. You will never get through those shields.
But, I would say that while I do agree bring offense, because you know what you're going to fight, like if it's a Snorlax or if it's a Pelipper, you know that Snorlax is physically attack heavy, or you know the Pelipper is special attack heavy. A light screen or a reflect goes such a long way in both NPCs and real players. They're just so helpful if you want Magikarp to survive. And I would argue the Magikarp is more helpful than the Solrock.
Why is Magikarp in the battle?
Why?
All the girl has. What do you want from her? She's a new trainer.
Something better.
Oh.
Fighting against Dynamax Pokemon in max raid battles can be tricky, as the rules your teammates are under operate a little different than the rules Dynamax Pokemon use. In addition to your side losing 4 Pokemon have been knocked out, even if it's the same Pokemon 4 times, Martin... There is an additional factor to keep in mind. Also, that is literally what was written here in the press release. At least once during the battle, the opposing Dynamax Pokemon will likely raise a barrier that will vastly reduce the damage it takes while negating the effects of status moves such as Toxic or Will-O-Wisp. Unless your team is very coordinated, this usually means it's not better to use such moves to avoid wasting a turn. Dynamax Pokemon at the 4 to 5 star max raid battle will typically raise their barrier twice at specific HP thresholds with more powerful and more defensive oriented Dynamax Pokemon producing barriers with more segments.
Have you gone against the Shedinja?
No, I have not done Shedinja.
I saw a video of someone doing one and it like popped up with like 8 shields and they're like, okay. And then the first person went and it just immediately killed it. Because it's like 1 hit point, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, like it went through the 8 shields and took it out in like 1 shot.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Do you want to know my worst max raid experience?
Was it against Obstagoon?
Nope.
Or a Clefable?
Nope.
Ooh, oh, dang.
Hidden ability Shuckle.
Is that contrary?
Yep. So every time we smash the shields, its defenses tripled.
Oh, no.
Three times. And it comes up with six shields each time. And it can do no damage. I lost three times because we ran out of turns.
Oh, you actually ran out of turns?
Ten turns. Okay.
Yeah, get 10 turns. We shattered the shields, and it's like, its defenses sharply raise. And I'm like, and since the hard stops, the damage hard stops when the shields come up,
yeah,
we'd use a super effective move, and then it would sit, and the shields would come back up. And it's like, we are never getting through this. It took four attempts to finally find the perfect combination of humans to do moves to finally overpower it. And we were on turn 9. Madness.
All right, I got some Dynamax tips. Let me just finish. Let me finish this. This section of the article. Any damaging attack from a regular sized Pokemon will reduce shield by one segment. Whether it's a tackle from Magikarp or a super effective attack from Zacian, there are a few non-damaging attacks that can have this effect too. Any damaging attack from a Dynamax Pokemon will decrease the barrier by two segments instead. When the barrier breaks, it will harshly reduce the foe's defense and special defense and deal a little damage. So you are much better off having your Dynamax Pokemon help break the barrier when possible. It's often a good idea to set up this by having a second player Dynamax when battling with friends, instead of the host immediately Dynamaxing on the first turn. I do agree with this, actually. Trainers controlled by the game will never Dynamax, so you should always Dynamax on the turn when you are alone human.
Anything.
The opposing Dynamax Pokemon won't just stand there as you break the barrier, of course. With multiple moves on each turn, it will use max moves or G-max moves several times, but also weave in regular moves. It's also able to nullify stat changes and abilities on your team's Pokemon, so it's best not to rely on the strategy by increasing your own stats or relying on abilities. Dynamax Pokemon in 4 or 5 star max raid battles can dish out some serious damage with the numerous max moves flying around, so it's best to stay focused on whittling down the barrier. I still think at this point I've done probably close to 400 raids at this point.
Wow, that's a lot of raids.
I've done a lot. I have been raiding every night pretty much since the games came out. So
okay, nice. I haven't been raiding as much. I've been doing a lot more breeding, so I need to jump into more raids.
I normally start my streams by doing 5 to 6 raids, and I end my stream doing 5 to 6 raids. So that's bare minimum 70 raids a week. But there's some days where we just raid all day. So in the games, this is what, the fourth week the game's been out? Because, yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
This is going to, yeah. Because I remember there's been at least 3 or 4 days where I've done nothing but raids from start to finish in an 8-hour period.
That's a lot of raids.
It's a lot of raids. So this is what I've raided with almost nothing but humans. And I've noticed a lot of them still don't understand that there are thresholds. So it doesn't matter. It does matter how much damage you do, but a lot of times I will see the host Dynamax and then attack with a G-Max move, which is like, great, but all you're doing is you're activating their shields, and now we have to spend time whittling down at shield, when in reality, you break 2 shields and we only break 1 shield. So you're actually slowing us down.
I'm going to put an asterisk on there. That sometimes getting the terrain up is very important. And since terrain abilities won't activate if you're hitting a shield, sometimes it's very important. Like, if you are fighting something like a Shuckle or something that does a lot of damage, it's important to Dynamax first to get the grassy terrain up so that everybody's getting healed, especially if you have Martin who's doing nothing. So it depends on who has what moves that it is sometimes important to have the first person Dynamax so you can benefit from that terrain so that the moves that the thing that you're fighting won't hit you as hard or you're getting steady healing. Like, there are a lot of reasons to also have the first person Dynamax.
I would say, though, if you are planning on Dynamaxing, if you're the host and you're planning on Dynamaxing, don't bring a super fast Pokemon, though, because you don't want to go first.
Well, unless you want the terrain, because then you do want to go first. Because often people bring super effective attacks and then knock them down to that first shield thing, and then you don't set up the terrain, and you will never set up the terrain because you're always going just as the shields come up. And if it hits shields, it does not set up the terrain. It has to do damage.
I don't think the grassy one is particularly great, though.
It is.
No, because Martin Solrock's getting one shot.
Not always. After its fourth calm mine, it's just sitting there getting healing, and it's trying to take it down, but it heals up the damage
because
it's
after
so
its
defensive.
Fourth calm mine, once you break the shields, the Dynamax Pokemon's going to nullify all effects. And then Martin Solrock's back to plus zero because it got nullified.
Yeah, but it's healed to the max, and you have another set of
four. I think
nine
times out of ten, you like if you're fighting like a Pelipper and it puts up rain, yeah, sure, it's nice to have like Sunny Day up to like to cancel out the rain or whatnot, sure. But ideally, what always happens is somebody Dynamaxes right away and then hits the threshold, and then we're whittling down the shield, when in reality, if like Zacian goes first, because Zacian will almost always goes first, can't Dynamax. Zacian breaks the first part, activates the shields, and then Dynamax Pokemon hits two, the other person hits one, the other person hits one, and then the shield is broken in first turn, and you're already back to no shields second
turn.
But
that is very... That is very subjective depending on how many shields there are. So if you have five shields...
Well, the average is four, but yeah, sometimes a Pokemon will have four or five or six.
Or six or eight. Having been in once with eight, it's not fun. It's hard to say. Like, saying don't Dynamax first is... I don't know that that's the winning strategy that everybody makes it out to be.
It's a good, well, okay, so you can Dynamax, Dynamax first, but there are usually Pokemon, but Dynamaxing first and going first, all you're doing is you're setting up shields, which any of those other three Pokemon can set up shields. Obviously, some Pokemon start with shields up.
But you're also sometimes setting up terrain,
yeah,
which is
so
very
it's good
handy.
For that specific reason, then. But not Dynamaxing first is also a good strategy
and,
as well.
Right. But, also Dynamaxing and Super Effective things do take off health behind the shield.
Yes.
So, it's not completely wasted. And getting through those shields faster, no matter when you hit those shields, is worth getting through those shields.
I think one support Pokemon is still pretty good, and no one ever brings support Pokemon. And I've seen people also not heal, which is, really frustrating. So I will almost always bring, if I see no one's bringing support Pokemon and I know that there's a chance for Pokemon that can one-shot, so example, G-Max Snorlax is really good at one-shotting, especially if somebody brings them a champ, doesn't get the opportunity to Dynamax it, so one Zen Headbutt from Snorlax is going to one-shot the Machamp. Yep. So I will almost always bring a Grimmsnarl because... Even though Grimmsnarl is not super effective, it does two things. One, it can set up... It has Prankster Light Screen, or Prankster Reflect. So I'm going first no matter what. And it I can Thunder Wave if needed. And depending on if I feel like Thunder Waving or not, that has been helpful. But more times over not, I feel like the Reflect is probably going to be more beneficial if somebody's going to get one shot. And then two, it has Sucker Punch, which while not as super effective against Snorlax, again, people don't understand these thresholds. So if somebody's going to Dynamax and go first, so if they, I don't know what's a super fast, let's just say the Machamp is faster than everything else on the field. Let's say they brought two Pangoros, a G-Max Machamp, and then my Grimmsnarl. The Machamp is going to go first based on speed alone. So it's is the Machamp going to waste its whole turn to knock out one shield? That's just a waste of your three Gigantamax turns. So what I'm going to do as a Grimmsnarl is I'm going to Sucker Punch because it doesn't matter if it's super effective. I just go first and I just break that shield. Also, there's just so many trainers that are I got 20 hit points left. I'm just going to attack when it's but... We have two deaths. Just heal. Just use a max potion. Mm-hmm. Why risk it? You have already proven that you have survived the first attack. The second attack will kill you. If you heal, you will survive that attack again.
Right.
It is very frustrating to lose with, I think it is more frustrating to lose with humans than it is to lose with Martin.
I mean, I don't know. Getting real mad at Martin.
Yeah, but you're right, though. I would, yeah, I'd rather lose with Martin than with the humans.
Last part here. While Dynamax Pokemon appear at Pokemon dens at the beginning of the day are random, you can take faith into your own hands to extend by using wishing pieces. To take note of which Pokemon you see in which dens, if you're looking for another Pokemon again, you can always get a shot by using wishing pieces. Many trainers will use wishing pieces repeatedly on a specific den to find valuable Pokemon. For instance, competition-minded trainers value Ditto with high individual strengths because they can help hatch the most specific Pokemon at the nursery. Ditto is a particular special case because that Pokemon will appear stronger, Purple Light, in the north area, wild area, in the north of the wild area's Pokemon nursery, found right where you enter Stony Wilderness. This means you can definitely find one if you are persistent.
That was a pretty good article.
It's pretty useful, actually. Yeah, surprisingly. Really,
fast way to make money.
Yes.
You can make about $1.4 million in less than a minute. In-game, without without resetting anything, without changing your clock, this is what you do. If you spend a lot of time in the wild area, for 99,000 watts, so almost 100,000 watts, you can find the guy who is selling the luxury ball.
Which is random.
There's only six people that sell, but I think there's seven or eight balls on rotation, so they change at midnight. You buy 999 luxury balls for 100 watts each, which is $99,000. And then you go to a Pokemon Center and you sell the luxury ball for $1,500. Luxury balls are normally $3,000. They raised it in this game, which I both love and hate. I love that the luxury ball should be a more expensive ball because it's called the luxury ball. And it was always the same price as every other like fancy Pokeball, which always drove me crazy. So I'd love that they raised the price. I hate that it is more expensive because $3,000 really
$3,000 is a lot.
It adds up very quickly. But you buy 999 luxury balls from the Watt dealer. And then you go and you sell it for $1,498,500 in less than 45 seconds. It is a lot of watts.
It's a lot of watts.
But if you're checking your raids at the start of your day, and if you're clearing out the raids or you're helping friends clear out the raids, your raids will eventually reset. And then you can check them all again. So even if you're not doing the raids the second time, you're still getting 2,000 watts from checking a den.
Yeah.
Hot tips.
So that's $1.4 million. And you're probably like, what can you do with $1.4 million? Well, if you don't want to EV train because you're lazy, you can buy vitamins.
The job system is so easy.
Yeah, but if you don't have time to wait 24 hours and the tournament's starting now.
If you didn't sign up, it's too late now.
If you did sign up, it's too late now. But I think it's about $500,000 to max out EVs on a specific Pokemon. Because you have to buy 26 of, you know, iron to 252 that. Or 252, is it?
Yeah,
252.
So it's about $500,000 to max out EVs on a Pokemon instantly. So if you have six Pokemon, that's about 1 million, 2 million. It's a little over $3 million to max out all your EVs on a team of six Pokemon. Greg is right. Sending a Pokemon on Pokéjobs, you can max out a specific EV stat in a day. If you're doing the 500 shiny hunting method and you're hunting specifically Cramorant, I don't know, put five Pokemon on your team that are plus special defense. The game is awesome because it provides you so many different ways to do this tedious stuff.
Yep,
so, like, if you are very raid heavy and you have a lot of watts like me, you can just buy the luxury balls, sell the luxury balls, and then buy the vitamins, and that's fine. And if you are lazy and you don't do a lot of raids, but you want to EV train and you don't plan on playing the game on Sunday, put Pokemon into the daycare or into the Poke Jobs and send them off. And then when you get back the next day, they're Eevee trained. So,
and you can also use the amulet coin free Meowth trick to fight the elite.
Yeah, you know, yeah, elite you can change
the branch.
Yeah.
And a couple max gold rushes gets you, what is it, 99999 gold plus whatever you
yeah,
win.
Yeah, that's
from
another
the
good
coin
way
to
make
like,
money.
Like, if you can't find the luxury ball person or you don't want to give up your luxury balls like I do, because I catch everything in my precious luxury balls, that's also an easy way to make money. Not that, like, if you do max raids, you get a ton of treasure anyways.
You do.
Like, sell that stuff, except I only sell it one at a time to the guy, to the market guy, because I'm lazy. And I want to get my max amount of money.
Yeah, so, I don't know. I think this game is really good at respecting your time, which is what Greg and I talked about a couple weeks ago. Like, even if you do not need the Pokemon in the raids, like, I don't need Gold Star Malamar. I have Hidden Ability Malamar. I got the other Malamar. I'm good with Malamar. But I'll do the Gold Star one to help you out clear your raid. Two, I want that sweet, sweet candy. Three, I want, because I know at a certain point it's going to help me reset my raids, which means when I check my raids again, once they reset, I'm getting 2,000 watts per raid den. And then I'm using those watts to buy luxury balls. I'm using those luxury balls to buy candy. I'm using those candies to Eevee train or to buy clothes or to buy the TMs I'm missing. And then when I'm out of watts and I'm out of candy out of watts or out of money, I just do it all over again. And it's a great loop that I think a lot of Pokemon games have been missing.
Yeah, totally agree.
There's a new Pikachu Funko coming out this week.
Ugh.
Greg, give us our question of the week.
Ready? Who is your favorite Pokemon and who should be cut? Which of these monsters has the best butt? I'm shiny hunting, so what should I seek? These all could be the question of the week.
Jeez, the amount of thought.
That was amazing.
I'm going to have to step your pay grade up here, Greg.
Yeah. I'm gunning for that end of the year 5-star rating to get the best rating.
Looking for the good Christmas bonus. All right, this is from Brandon. What do you like to do most with your family and loved ones with the holidays slowly rolling in? It's nice to remember the nice things you do with your family to bond with them. With my family, we love to go on Christmas Eve to a focaccia store in San Francisco and get their special Christmas focaccia and then eat it before we get home. That's a good question. It's a good non-Pokemon question.
Who's going first?
Well, Steve, go.
Oh, I don't do family things.
I know, my family's garbage. No, I'm kidding.
The last couple of years, because Irene and I usually do Christmas with family, not on Christmas. That's just what happens when families fight over how can we get all our kids to be back for Christmas, not on Christmas Day. So usually Irene and I are free on Christmas and Christmas Eve. So for the last couple of years, I've actually streamed on Christmas Day because I know there's a lot of people who listen to the podcast or watch the streams that do not have family to hang out with. So I dedicate my time on Christmas to stream Pokemon and give them like a community or like a, you know, human interaction, which I think is really important on a holiday. And since I already get Christmas out of the way, that's like the way I can give back is by just being there on Christmas and chatting with people, because I have definitely done holidays alone and it absolutely sucks.
It's miserable. Mm-hmm. Like, it's nice to have a place for people to go because not everybody's family is great. And again, you do not have to spend time with your family if your family is awful to you. So remember that, people. Just your time is valuable. Yeah. I do a bunch of things like holiday stuff. Like, I'm a big Christmas person. So like Brett and I just went and got our tree and set the tree up. And then I create a holiday Christmas mix every year that I give out to my family and my friends. And then every year I make salted caramels to give out to people. And then for family stuff, we'll try to go see a holiday show if we can fit it in. Like, now that my brother's kids are a lot older, it's really, really hard to do. But luckily, this year, a Star Wars movie is coming out. So our holiday movie this year will be going to go see Star Wars together as a family, like we do every year. A new Star Wars movie comes out because that's a big family thing. And then for actual holiday day, we'll probably go to either my brother's house or my parents' house to do gifts and eat and spend time together and play games. Like, those are pretty much the solid family stuff. And now that Brent's parents moved here, you know, he gets to spend time with his family, all of us together. So we do a bunch of stuff around the holidays, but also, there are a lot of things, like a lot of my friends who don't have good relations with their families will also host things, like, you know, they'll do Friends Christmas, where it's just an open house to come play games so that you have a place to go. I don't, because I always have to spend time with my family, so I don't end up there. But I know a lot of my friends do go to, like, hey, we're just playing games all day. Drop in when you can, leave when you want to, but, like, we're here to offer you a place so that you aren't alone over Christmas. And that's not to say that it's bad to be alone, but it does get lonely, and there's a lot of messaging around Christmas about having to be with people. So it's just nice to have those options.
For me, usually, I mean, we get really into, like, the holiday season, and my wife and I are both super into Christmas, and now my son is 2, so, you know, the whole Santa Claus thing starting, he's super pumped about that and everything.
Yeah,
so Santa. Yeah. So we're, you know, really into all of that. And then as far as, like, my family, luckily for us, both sets of parents live here in San Diego. We do usually we'll do, like, you know, see my parents at some point and my siblings, and then see her parents as well during Christmas, or right around Christmas. So we usually do that just to get the families together. And then with my friends, you know, we'll usually do something as well. We'll meet up at, like, a brewery or something one day, and I'll hang out right around Christmas. So, nothing too crazy, but it is nice just, seeing each of the families, especially with, my son. You know, they always want to see him and everything. So, it works out really well.
Oh, I should probably say what I do with my family. If I do hang out with them, I usually bring I usually try to find a 4-player game that's, like, simple and easy enough. So, like, last time, I think was it Super Mario Party just came out on the Switch?
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm.
So that seemed to work. Like, the Jackbox stuff is really good, or Mario Party's been pretty good. I think, like, oh man, when this was Wii U, was Animal Crossing Amiibo Festival. As much as that game is not really a game, it was still fun to have that up and play through that instead of just having, like, football on. So that's it. I'm actually going to sneak in an email real quick here.
What?
Nice.
Mostly because Nick made us new jingles for the show, and I want to use the email jingle. This is from Solomon from Dublin. Alola ISE crew, I discovered your podcast in October, been an avid listener since, with your witty commentary on all aspects of Pokemon is completely brilliant. I have recently started to wonder trade more in Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, obtained 3 mythicals, Celebi, Darkrai, and Keldeo. They're all shiny and level 100 and infected with Pokerus. I believe they are probably hacked. Should I keep them? Is it wrong to own a hacked Pokemon that were traded? Thanks for the time reading. Keep up the good work. P.S. Greg is my favorite.
Yeah!
Hey, there you go, Greg.
In before Steve, you can keep them. It's fine. Just don't use them in competition.
You can't, because they're all, like, banned anyways.
I know, but just as long as you aren't using them against other people and you have them and you don't take credit, like, hey, I caught these, like, it's fine. They're cute to have. Shiny has no currency. They aren't worth anything. And as long as the game is like, hey, this is valid for one to trade, it's just valid to sit there and do nothing.
Yeah, maybe don't trade it, though.
No, I wouldn't trade it.
Don't,
nope.
Like, keep it for yourself if you want it, but don't move forward with
don't
that.
Don't send it on.
Yeah, don't send it off.
Most mythical Pokemon can't be wonder traded anyway, so this is a good sign. I'll try to be informative here and not opinionated.
Good luck.
So if you're legit wondering if your Pokemon are hacked or not, Cherish Ball Pokemon cannot be Wonder Traded. And so if they are Wonder Traded, if you do receive Keldeo in a Cherish Ball, which I think Keldeo can only be in a Cherish Ball, they have hacked it in a way that it is not legit. Whether or not you care about that, that's just so you know or not know that Cherish Ball Pokemon cannot be traded, Wonder Traded. They can be traded, like if Greg was to add, I got Cherish Ball Meloetta from the Nashville tournament. I can't Wonder Trade that Keldeo or Meloetta. But if I met Greg in real life or we had friends over the 3DS, I can then trade him Cherish Ball Meloetta. So any Cherish Ball Pokemon you're getting through Wonder Trade is 100% hacked. If it wasn't a Cherish Ball Pokemon, let's say it was a Mewtwo that was shiny level 100, anytime it's from a website name as the OT, that is also hacked. So if it's like, PKLove.net, definitely hacked.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely an advertisement.
Yeah.
And then you can always technically check by ribbons. So a lot of Pokemon will have a lot of all Cherish Ball Pokemon come from the Pokemon Company in some capacity, whether that's through a distribution through GameStop or a distribution through the GTS. So they will have specific ITs, usually specific names, obviously in a Cherish Ball. Sometimes natures are completely random, so those aren't set in stone, but they will usually have a specific ribbon, and it's actually the ribbon that prevents it from being Wonder Traded. If it's missing the ribbon, that's how you can tell if it's hacked. Now, my opinion on whether you should keep them or not, completely up to you. I don't like hacked Pokemon the same way that I don't really like knockoff Pokemon merchandise.
He says, with his bag of knockoff Pokemon merchandise.
But I do have some knockoff Pokemon merchandise that was gifts and stuff. And for me, it feels kind of weird to throw them out because somebody did pay money for them and then give them to me. I have always kept my boxes pretty clean. I don't think I have any hacked Pokemon. I'm pretty careful with who I trade with. At the end of the day, none of it matters because, like Greg said, none of these Pokemon are worth anything.
Right.
Right. Yep. Yep.
But in a collection aspect, I like having the Pokemon exist and knowing they came from somebody who did get them in the proper means. At the end of the day, if you were really adamant on trying to get a level shiny 100 Mew, PK Hex is there for you. That exists. I don't know. For me, I always think about like why you have Pokemon. So, like, when somebody's like, oh, how did you get that Cherish Ball Scraggy? I can say, oh, that's really cool. I went to the 2011 World Championships in San Diego, and that's where I got it. Or if somebody was like, whoa, where did you get that shiny Mew? It would be like, well, I got it from Wonder Trade, and that's obviously, like, it's not, to me, it's like, well, this is not a great, I don't know, it's not memory. A great story, right? Like, oh, yeah. I just got it from Wonder Trade. Well, oh, and it's by pklove.gov.
Yeah, I agree with that, too. I feel like Pokemon is a lot about memories and stories for me. And that's purely for me, not for anyone else. But being able to say, I got this really cool thing from here versus, like, you know, something that was like hacked, it's a big deal to me. So that's just kind of my take on it too. It's about more about the stories and the memories than anything else.
I don't show people like, hey, I got this from Worlds or whatever. It just never comes up in my world. I like that they're pretty. And if it looks pretty and I like looking at it, fine by me. I don't
might,
care how
that
I got
might change
it.
With Pokemon Home. There's a bunch of
it might change. Pokemon Home may change things, but it didn't change it with Go. Go did nothing for me. Like, I don't care. I have all these community Pokemon that are shiny and wearing sunglasses, and only I look at them.
Yeah.
I can't put them anywhere. They're useless to put in a in a gym because they get knocked out for the 5 seconds that one person saw it and went, sweet, easy gym. Like, they don't do anything. I don't get enjoyment from being able to say, oh, I got this from blah, 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 because I just like the way they look. Like, that. Like, I'm not a streamer. I could tell stories here, but I could make up a story just as easily.
You don't have to be a streamer, but, like, when I was in Japan and there was a couple instances where I traded with some Japanese folks in Pokemon Go, and the easiest thing to do was hand them my phone and for them to scroll through my Pokemon list, right? And for them to be like, oh, I want the Illumise, or I want the Tauros, or I want the... I don't know what Kangaskhan or something, because they don't have those. Like, that is cool. So I would imagine
that is cool, but
I would imagine a situation in
ask.
Pokemon Home where you would be like, oh man, you have 3 Cherish Ball Gengars from the shiny Gengar event that GameStop did in 2015 in the Dusk Ball. Or no, they were Dusk Ball shiny Gengars from the GameStop event. Sorry, not Cherish Ball. But it'd be like, oh, I don't have one of those, and you have 3 of them. Can I offer you something because I missed out on that GameStop event? Because, like, right now I'm looking for, I think Pokemon Home will make this easier, but I am looking for older event Pokemon that I missed. And, like, I don't have a Dream Ball Arceus, which was when the Dream World was shutting down, and they offered Arceus to everyone. And I would like that. And I'm sure there are a couple people out there that have multiple Arceuses because they had multiple copies of Black and White. And Black and White 2, I think it was for both games.
Yeah. I don't know if I got that one or not. I don't remember.
See? But if Pokemon Home comes out...
I don't remember.
And I can see in somebody's entire collection on their phone, and we meet at the bus stop, which is not a Pokestop. Unfortunately,
this is the sketchiest Pokemon trade I've ever.
And we exchange phones to look through the collections, and it's like, oh, you have a bunch of these. I have a bunch. I'm swimming in these like Ash Hat Pikachus, and I'm sure somebody has missed one of them, and they're like, oh man, I don't have Sinnoh Hat Pikachu, and you have 30 of them. Can I get one of those for my GameStop shiny Gengar, 2015? Like, that's a cool situation. All these situations play out in my head. Probably none of them will ever happen. But
none of them will ever happen.
I would like to dream.
Also, that sketchy Pokemon trader at the bus stop definitely hacked those in because they know how to make
that's
that.
True. They just dupe.
Yeah, I got 15 of your Arceus. Wink. Totally legit.
Yeah,
wink.
I bought 15 copies of Pokemon
Black. We're
going to
look the other way because it matches just fine because Serebii has all the things that I need to write it there in order, perfectly done.
Hey, you'd be surprised how many people forget the ribbon.
Yeah, but not professionals that are meeting you at a bus stop.
That's where all the professionals meet. Bus stops.
Yep. All right.
Bus stops, cheese shops in Wisconsin, all the great places.
All right. That's it. That's our episode. We'll be back next week. I'm sure by then there will be another article on Pokemon.com. Thank you for listening. If you want to follow us on Twitter, Greg is at White Wing. I am at Dragging a Lake. Bobby is at PKMN.snaps?
No dot on
Instagram.
Yeah. Yep.
There we go.
So confusing. Your branding is all
I
over.
Said, I'm trying. Yes. I'm trying.
Brand Bobby. you can follow the podcast on Twitter at Pokemon Podcast. This will probably be a bumper at the start of the episode, but I am giving away another Nintendo Switch Lite, the Pokemon edition, with a copy of Pokemon Sword and a copy of Pokemon Shield physical. So do with those. If you win, do what you want with all 3 of those items.
I never win. It's rigged.
The link to the giveaway will be in the podcast show notes. So feel free to enter completely free. You just have to follow the Twitch stuff. And that will end on December 22nd, 23rd. I don't know. Around middle December it will end, but.
23rd is not middle December.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
There's not much December left after the 23rd.
Pre-Christmas or post-Christmas? Ends pre-Christmas. So feel free to enter that. We will be back next week. We got what, like three more episodes of 2020, 2019, yeah, before 2020. 19.
Before 2020.
Before 2020.
When everything changes.
Yeah, the whole the Fire Nation will invade and everything.
All the workplaces that have been working towards 2020 will no longer know what to do.
That's right. But thank you for listening. We will be back next week. This has been another episode of the Pokemon Podcast, and we are
super effective.
Super Soul Rock Sadness. Stupid Martin. Martin!
Like every podcast on the internet, we are funded by Patreon. A special shout out to our producers of the show, Kevin, Cygnus, Patrick, Noah, Jetsy, Jeffrey, Matthew, Alex, and Catherine. And a super special shout out for our executive producers, Pancakes and Anthony. Thank you all for your support. Thank you for making it to the end of the episode. If you did, again, this is slightly updated and new, so congrats to you. If you want to find out more about Patreon, you can head over to isc.cash to learn more. I've repeated myself twice. We'll see you guys next week. Bye.